Bibles to Luke chapter 19, Luke's gospel chapter number 19, if you would please, Luke chapter 19. We're going to start reading at verse number 11, Luke, dropped it in my pocket. Luke 19 and verse number 11. I want you to stand with me while we read the Word of God. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Now Jesus is talking here, and he's got his disciples, and they're getting ready to go into Jerusalem. They're thinking the kingdom's coming. Of course, Israel was looking for their king. They were looking for the kingdom to be set up then. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now remember that Israel was set aside for a time while the church being called out. Of course, Jews can get saved and get in the church, but he's going to return to Israel one day and do for them. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, you've heard me use that phrase a lot, occupy till I come. We'll come back to that. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so they rejected him. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And I want you to pay attention. That verse that he says, thou have been faithful in a very little, but have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an astute man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an astute man, taking up where I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might require mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that to every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But these mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now let's bow our heads and pray just for a moment. Father, I pray for that divine touch and ask you to help us. Speak to our hearts tonight. Help us gain from the Word of God the things that we need to gain, the things we need to learn. And I pray, challenge our hearts, challenge our lives, and help us tonight, God, to do those things pleasing in your sight. In the preaching of the Word of God, speak to every heart, and we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Occupy till I come. We're going to talk about that word occupy. Occupy means to take possession of. Take over. Take possession of. What Jesus is saying to them is, I'm going away. I'm coming back. And you're in charge. I'm taking over the business till I get back. Now, when I say in charge, I do not mean the fact that we'd run the business of the Lord. God runs his own business. He is the Lord of all. It's his business. But he has left us as stewards in charge of the day-by-day operation of it to see that it gets done. And I think in looking at this, I just thought about some things I never had just thought of just like that. I've quoted that verse. I preached from that verse, "Occupy till I come." But I am concerned tonight about what Jesus said there, because he said, "Occupy till I come." And I looked that word up, occupy, to take possession of. Jesus' purpose in this world, he said, "I am come to seek and to save that which is lost." And so that's his purpose, and that's what he wants. He wants men to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then that they may grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and be able to share that with others, that they too may come to know Jesus as Savior, and that we may know and learn more about worship of him and giving him glory, giving him honor day by day in our daily walk of life. That is a business of the Lord, and he left that business with us. And so we are to take heed to it. I want to give you about three things tonight about occupying till he comes. And I believe God can help us in this if we'll think about it in the way that I'm thinking tonight. I know God helped me in dealing with that. And I stand amazed in the fact that Jesus would leave away and leave the church in charge of, or in taking care of, his business. Have you ever thought about it? What if those first disciples, so few people, what if they had not done what Jesus said for them to do? The gospel would not be here today for us. And by the way, those people in the world that have never heard about Jesus Christ, it is not God's fault they have not heard. The reason why they have not heard is because somebody somewhere down the road did not do what God said to do. And somewhere in their ancestry, somebody failed that generation and the next generation. And they do not know God. And you and I now know God because a generation before us shared God with us. And they shared truth with us. And the generation before them shared that truth with them. And the generation before them shared that truth with them. And it's come down to our generation. And I preached a message not long ago on the subject, for such a time as this. It's an unusual time, but for such a time as this, we're here so that we not fail our generation and pass it on to the next generation if Jesus does not take us home real soon. And so we have an obligation to occupy till he comes. Number one, if you're going to occupy and take care of something, then you have to learn about it. You can't take care of something if you don't know anything about it. And so we must learn, and we must study. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If we're to take care of God's work, he left us a handbook, then we need to study the handbook and rightly divide that handbook, not add to nor take from, but take his instructions like he gives them out. And we need to know that if we're going to do what he wants us to do. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. And so we need to study the word of God. And I guess in our day we have, many of us anyway, I don't speak for everybody individually, but many of us in our day are used to having a Bible in our home. We're used to having a Bible. Sometimes we even leave Bibles at church because we have Bibles at home, we have Bibles in the car, or a Bible at work. But there are people who have but one Bible and they treasure it. And there are some in our world that has one page out of one Bible and they treasure it and trade off with somebody that has another page so they can have some of the Word of God. And you and I have a completed Bible. We ought to thank God tonight and get down and praise his name that we have a Bible to read and to study. And thank God we can learn about the work of God through this book. Amen. What if you didn't have a Bible? What if you didn't have the handbook? It'd be a terrible time to think about. But if you're going to take care have a business, you're going to take care of something. Whatever it is you're taking care of, you have to learn about it. And so we need to learn. And the first place to learn is through the Word of God and finding out about it. Then if you're going to take care of somebody's business, you need to talk to them. Somebody owns a business and they said, now I want you to take care of my business. You're going to talk to them. You better talk to them if you're going to take care of their business. They may have a handbook and have it and hand you a handbook and say, now here, read the handbook and learn what's in the handbook, what to do and how to do it. But you want to talk to him that's in charge, and we need to pray. If we're going to take care of God's business like God wants to take care of God's business, then we need to talk to God about his business. Amen. And just talk to God and have fellowship with him and learn more. The more you learn about him, the more you know best how to take care of his business, because his business, he'll reflect himself in his own business. A man that is honest, a man that is running a business and he's got some character about him, he's got some standards about him, he's got some ways about him, he's honest, then his business is going to be run the same way. And he'll not put up with dishonesty. He'll not have that crowd to try to embezzle and take from him and all that. He will try to see that his business is run right. And if you're working for a man like that, then there may be some areas that you just need to ask some questions about. And maybe need something you need to talk to him about. And but I tell you right now, to occupy God's business, I know I need to talk to him about his business. And I know I need to talk to him about what he expects out of me. I also know I need his help. Because if it's his business, then that means he knows more about it than I do. He started the business, so he must know more than I know. And so I need to talk to him. And so we need to pray and ask God to help us. Then if you're working for somebody and you find out you need some help, first thing you do is go to whoever's in charge and talk to them about we need some help. Matthew 9:28 said, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers. We need to talk to God about laborers. I'll never forget Brother Stennett Ballou making that statement here. Stuck in my mind like glue, like super glue in fact. And said, only one request did Jesus ever make of us in prayer. And that is that we would pray for God to send forth laborers into the field. It's his field. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. We'll send forth laborers. And as you labor in the field, you realize we need laborers in the field. And so, and everybody doesn't do the same job, but everybody has a job to do. And so we labor in the field. And we have that need in our lives. So all of us must get involved in that and pray for. And we need to talk to ones in charge and ask about the labors that we need, as well as talking about the work that's being done and what does the Lord say and what does the Lord want. And we need to perseveringly do that, do it over and over, day by day, and stay in touch. And so we want to never get out of touch. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. And so tonight, I'm talking about taking care of God's business. And what I'm saying tonight is, the church, we as people of God, saved people, God has left us an awesome responsibility, but he's given us a privilege to talk to him about it. He's given us a handbook to read to learn about it. And so we can learn by that. And then by learning, we need to attend the meetings. I used to work for an insurance company. And every Friday morning, we'd have a staff meeting. And when we had that meeting, the morning they'd want to know kind of how the work was going, what problem we run into. And then they'd also maybe have something new that we need to learn about. But they'd also have in that an encouragement, something that would motivate you, something to try to keep you going, selling insurance, trying to keep you on the go. And you know what? Attending church a whole lot like that. We come together. Now, we come, first of all, to worship God. Now, that's separate from any staff meeting I've ever been to. Never been to one like that. But we come to worship God, and we come to give him praise, and we come to get our hearts in tune with him. But we do come to learn more about his business, do we not? Do we not hear preaching and teaching? That's, Sunday school is so important, where you hear teaching of the Word of God. And it's taught to you. It'll help you. You learn things. And I know classes you can ask questions in. And sometimes I encourage a class that I teach to ask questions. And because many times people sitting there thinking about something I'd like to ask, but I think it's a dumb question. There's no such thing as a dumb question. It may be a question everybody else knows, but still not a dumb question. If you don't know the answer, it's not a dumb question. Anything you ask is something that needs to be answered. And many times a lot of other people won't ask the same thing. They're afraid to ask it also. And so just ask. Now, I tell my class I can't answer every question because I don't know the answer for every question. But I will try to find an answer to the question if it can be answered. And some questions are unanswerable. Amen. I just can't answer. Where did God come from? God didn't come from anywhere. That's all I know to tell you. And you can't answer a question like that. But what I'm saying is we ought to be able, we learn by coming to Sunday school. Maybe I'll preach this on Sunday morning. But anyhow, I'm preaching tonight on Wednesday night. We need to come to Sunday school. We need to be in preaching. We need to attend the staff meetings, if you please. We're the workers. We get together. I can try to get together with church staff once in a while. And once a week, and we try to go over some things, and we try to talk about things, and we need to talk about things. We need to work together, amen? And when you come to church, you come so you can learn about the business we're in. And we're in a great business. And we need to be motivated, amen. You need to get some motivation to get involved in it. If you want a salesman, if you're in insurance business and you got an insurance business, you got some salesmen, I tell you what they're trying to do. They try to motivate us to get out there and knock on doors and try to get people to reference other people to us and follow up prospects and trying to stay in touch and take time to go do it. It wasn't always convenient for you. It didn't always work on my timetable. It wasn't always the same hours. It wasn't always the same thing. It was when you could get the work done, that's when you had to do it. That's how it is in God's work. Hey, some people you can reach during the day, some you reach at night, some you reach some other way. Sometimes it's through a missionary, sometimes it's through a prison ministry, but whatever it is, we need to be involved in it. I need to learn something about it. I'm trying to learn, amen. I want you to get this. You'll never be involved unless you learn about the business, that's for sure. It's God's business. His business is reaching people for Christ. And so we learn about it from the handbook, the Bible. And we learn about that through talking to the one that owns the business, in charge. That's God. And then we learn about by attending the meetings and finding out what God has to say from somebody that's studied that particular thing, preaching that particular message or that particular class. And the Bible says exhorting one another. You know what I found out in staff meetings working with an insurance company? You found out that that other salesman over there had some of the same problems you was having. As you talked to him, he'd share with you, you'd share with him. And you'd learn something he'd learned, I'd learn something he'd learned, and it helped both of us. That's how come church is. You exhort one another. Somebody's going through something, you can go up and tell them you're praying for them and you're trying to and just offer a help. And I'm not talking about gospel now. I'm talking about trying to help people and trying to be an encouragement and get them motivated. Amen. And that's a good thing about coming to church, just hanging around fellowship and talking to each other and having an encouraging time to serve God and praise the Lord. All right, number two, I want you to get this. Not only do we learn about it, but we get out and do it. We take or send the gospel out. We got to get involved in it. That commission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hey, we're going to be baptizing Sunday night, by the way. The Lord willing, I hope we will be. And that's what our plans are. I'm looking forward to it. I love to baptize, means somebody got saved. And what a privilege it is to baptize. But before you ever baptize, you got to get them saved. And God does the saving, but it takes human instruments and use to take the gospel to them. Brother Bill, you've led some to Jesus recently in the prisons. And I know God did the saving. God took the word of God and he saved them. But God used you to have the feet to carry that message to them and to witness to them and to talk to them in their language so they could understand it and use you to take the Bible and lead them to Christ. You did no saving. It wasn't in your power. It was not you that did it. It wasn't because you're good. It wasn't anything like that. It's because you did what God said to do. Now, that's exactly how it all works, a great commission. God, it's not because anybody's so good. It's not because anybody's talented or anybody's got something up on somebody else. It's the fact that we're just simply doing what the Bible says to do, what the one in charge said for us to do, and that is to go. Now, if you learned all about, if I was a salesman, and I keep coming back to that, and y'all pardon me, using a personal illustration now, I know something about that. But if I went to all the meetings on Friday mornings of the insurance company, and I learned, and I read their handbook, and I learned all about the policies they had, and I knew what they said and what they said to do, and all that, I learned all of that, but I never did go to see anybody, and I never did sell any policies, and I never did collect any money from anybody to open money on the insurance. If I didn't do any of that, what good would it do me to learn all that? And what would I be in that business anyway? Whoever's in charge of that business soon would come to me and say, I don't believe we need you around here anymore. You're not doing anything to help. You're simply taking up our time, our efforts. They paid for a test we had to take. They invested something in there, and they expected us to get something out. And I believe Jesus paid it all, and he paid it all for us. I believe he expects us to get something out. He gave us his word. We're privileged to have the Bible. We're privileged to be taught. We're privileged to hear preaching. We're privileged to be in church. And God's expecting something out of us. Amen. And so we need to go do it. By the way, he also gives us the power to do it. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, I'll give you the power to do it in. Amen. Now that insurance company never did give me any power to do anything in. They gave me the tools, they taught me, but they gave me any power. And the physical power I need to get out of bed, the car to drive, the whatever it was, they never did give me any of that. I had to come up with that and get out there and get the job done. Hey, in God's business, he said, I'm going to give you the power to do it. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, Brother Bill. You don't have to go in your own power and try to do that. You don't have to try to figure it all out. Just do what God says, and God takes care of the saving. God does his work, amen, and the helping of people. But I know you see something else in this. We're involved in this great, this great business I'm talking about tonight, it's guaranteed success. Amen, that insurance business, I wasn't guaranteed any success. I got there some days and wasn't any guarantee of that. It's guaranteed success. Show me by the Bible, Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth bearing precious, weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God didn't say they may. He said doubtless they would. I say, praise God, if we do it God's way, do God's business God's way, there will be some fruit somewhere along the way. Somebody going to get saved. Somebody going to get in. Somebody going to get something to help them. Somebody's going to find God somewhere along. Hey, because somebody's obedient. God honors obedience, amen. He guaranteed a success, and I say hallelujah. Well, let me close thirdly with this. And not only is it a guaranteed success, but now thirdly, being faithful, there will be a stewardship answer to God for. Faithful or unfaithful, there'll be an answer for it. And we're going to answer about that. And so this is God's business, and we're going to answer. Now, I want you to go back to your text a minute. Look at verse 15. It came to pass, and when he was returned, talking about the ones in charge, his business, said when he returned, having received the kingdom, to them they commanded the servants to be called unto him. Everybody saved. Now, we're not going to be judged whether we're saved or not. That's already settled. But we are going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of our lives. Our faithfulness or unfaithfulness, whichever way the case may be. But whatever we've done it for Jesus, or if you did it for self-glory, it'll come out. And the judgment is going to come out. Going to be tried as though by fire. And that is done because you love the Lord and did it because you wanted him to get glory. You did it for his kingdom's sake. And you did it for all. Then there'll be reward for that. But if you did it just so somebody pats you on the back, somebody, now when I worked for that insurance company, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't working for them to give them any glory. I was working for them because I need the paycheck. I need to make some money somehow. And so that's why I was working for them. But now in God's business, that's not why we're here. We're not here for financial gain. We're here to magnify him and win souls to Christ to help them. Now, grant you in selling insurance, It was a help to people to have that. And that way we certainly could do that. But what I'm talking about, and I've used this many of a time, and by the way, when I was out there trying to sell insurance, I many times wound up leading somebody to Christ because they realized, hey, the insurance is a need. You may need it someday. You're going to die, or you may, whatever it was we're selling. But I said, you're definitely going to need to meet God one day. You'll have to meet God. You don't need to meet God. You will have to meet God. And you'll need to know God. And so it's an opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you tonight, friend, we need to tell somebody because it'll glorify God. It'll help the person we're talking to. And not only help them, can you imagine being used of God to keep somebody out of hell? Can you think about that? Hey, God's used you to help somebody been in a bad wreck or something, you came by and you'd help them. Or if you saw a house burning, somebody in the window, and they couldn't get out, wouldn't you stop and try to help them? Or would you just drive on by and say, well, they're trapped and I can't help them so much for that? I believe you try. We've read about people that died trying to help others get out of a situation. We need to, I'm thinking about Brother Christmas right now. You remember the story? Brother Christmas went on to be with the Lord, but he was a member of the church here, and when he was in the army, he was helping a man. He picked up a man that was wounded and carried him off the battlefield and got in a place where he could get some help. They recognized him. Fact is, that TV did a thing on him. And the man that he saved his life was on there and testified and witnessed about how that Brother Christmas was the only hope he had at that moment to get off that battlefield. He was dying. And Brother Christmas picked him up and carried him off to help him. Now, that's to be honored, that to be remembered. Thank God for all of that. I praise God for everything like that's ever happened. But the greatest thing any man has ever done is help somebody miss hell and go to heaven. Amen. The greatest thing anybody's ever, greatest message anybody ever carried is that Jesus saves, Jesus saved. Greatest thing we can do is help somebody see they need Christ. Pray for them, ask God to help them, and get involved in the work of God and try to get them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 17. And he saith unto him, well, talking about this one servant now, he said, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little. Now he took that one talent he had and he made 10. He said, you're going to rule over 10 cities. One had one talent and he made 5, said, you rule over 5. But each one of them had something. When he left them, he gave them something. Hey, God gave everybody something they can do. I heard this man talking one time, and this is some years ago, and it was out of a church where they did things a little bit different than what we do around here, but they were trying to get workers for the church. And said he happened to be on a committee, and a committee is a horse put together, a camel is a horse put together by a committee. Funny looking. But anyway, I'm not saying every committee's wrong, but anyway, committees, I don't have money. But anyway, had this committee and said, we're trying to get people to help, and said he found out a secret, how to find out what people could do. He'd go up to somebody and said, now what's your talent? And they say, I don't have any. He said, we know that. And said, just as sure as he said, we know that. They said, but I can do this, or I can do that. He said, we found out how, what they could do, because we asked them what they could do, and they said they couldn't do anything. And then you said you knew that. I thought that was pretty good. They hate to admit they couldn't do it. Then they'd find out what they could do and say, well, we could use you there. And they'd find out what they could do and get them put them to help. Hey, everybody can do something. Be a help in the work of God. Amen. Everybody can do something. Everybody can leave a track when they go out there or pass out a track. Everybody can invite somebody to church. Everybody can pray for somebody. Everybody can be a part somewhere along the way. Amen. And speak to somebody about their soul. In this day and time in which we're living, when everybody is so concerned about everything, what a golden opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ. What's the best hope we've got? The best hope we've got is not stimulus package. Best hope we have is a blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the best hope we have. What's the best hope we have? People being saved. What are we going to do in these days? We're going to keep on doing what we've been doing, trying to get people to Christ Jesus, trying to get people saved, and trusting God to take care of the rest of it. Amen. And so tonight, occupy till I come. Y'all still with me? Occupy till I come. If you're going to occupy, take care of, be in charge of, and it means take over, take possession of, then you must learn about it. In order to learn about it, then you have to get active in it. Not only active in it, but remember, there will be a reckoning day. There'll be a day. Come now, what'd you do? Why'd you do that? And what's the results? There'll be a day we'll have to meet the living God. Whether we want to or not, we will meet God and answer to Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. In Judges chapter 7, verse 21, it says, every man stood in his own place. That was when Gideon was getting ready to fight his battle. And every man stood in his own place. We'd all stand in our own place like God wants us to. To me, I don't know what spoke to your heart or not, but it spoke to mine in a real way today that God's business, God left with me and you and this church. That's why we support missions. That's why we're trying to get the gospel out. People need to hear. Are you involved? Are you a part of? Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, deal with our lives, and help all of us that we may give ourselves and being a part of God's work. Lord, it's your business. It's your concern. You said, occupy till I come. So, Lord, we're looking for the blessed coming of the Lord Jesus. And as we look, you said, occupy, stay busy about my business till I get there. Lord, help us, God, to stay busy about your business. Help us, Lord, to redeem the time. Help us stay busy with that you'd have us to stay busy with. Help us do what you'd have us to do. And Father, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Heads are back.